So anybody doing GoToMeeting today?
You're on the air and you have the floor, Chairwoman.
Thank you. I'm going to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, April the 9th, and the time is 1:30 p.m. First on our agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present. All right. Next on our agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Chairwoman Stabler. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for this day. I just thank you for all of the rich blessings that we have. I just thank you for our beautiful springtime weather, Lord. I just ask that you be with us right now as we're going to conduct the business of the Osage Nation people and especially the business of our Congress. Help us communicate in an effective way with each other and have kind hearts, Lord. I just ask that you especially be with those families right now that are suffering with sickness and illness. And I ask that you be with the leadership of the United States of America and our state and our Osage Nation to make good decisions that affect our people's lives. I ask you to be with the people that are affected by all of the craziness going on right now, Lord. Please be with us. Look after us, for you are mighty and great. In your son Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congresswoman. Appreciate that. So next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. You can look into the minutes, please. This is Shannon. I have a question about the budget analyst position approval.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I see the motion to go forward with hiring a second candidate. Was there not a salary that was stated?
No, ma'am, there was not.
I don't recall.
So that's just in the personnel file, how much the budget analyst is making?
I really don't recall what the discussion was that day. Just because I know from being on this committee before, I've seen it stated what the salary was that they were hired in at.
Okay.
But maybe it wasn't. We hired him in at the rate of the last budget analyst.
Chair?
Well.
This is the clerk.
Yes.
I do remember there being a question as to whether there needed to be more specificity, and it was the decision of the committee to not make it as specific as we had in the past due to issues that had occurred.
Okay, if that's what happened, that's fine with me. Move to approve the minutes of March 18th. Have a motion, do we have a second?
Second. Whitehorn.
Was that Maria?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Next, we're going on to the payable. And I don't believe the payables are ready yet. Am I right about that, clerk?
This is the clerk. At this point in time, we do not have any payables that exceed the $1,000 limit for the chair to be able, or second speaker to be able to sign off on. We have received the credit card statement. It's not showing any charges, and I believe there's further discussion on that later in the agenda.
Okay, thank you. All right, so
can I have a point of inquiry about that?
Okay, go ahead. Congresswoman Edwards.
Okay, thank you. From being on CA in the past, when we were in session, or I think even when we had CA meetings, we were given the whole packet of payables, whether they were $1,000 or not, and able to go through them just to, do our oversight. And so are you saying now we are not, Congressional Affairs is not looking at any payables that are under $1,000? We're not getting that information?
I'm not sure how it was done in the past. I just continued on with whatever was going on when I came on. So,
Chair, this is the clerk.
Yes, go ahead, clerk.
To my knowledge, there has been times where it's been done both ways. It's really been up to the committee how they wish to proceed. There had been discussion in the past by committee members that if the rules allow for the second speaker to sign off on items that are not over $1,000, then there was no need for it to come before the committee and take up the committee's time. There's other times that it has been the desire of the committee to review every payable. So I believe it's been done both ways, and it's purely up to the committee and up to the second speaker how to proceed with that.
I personally don't have any problem with committee receiving copies. If that's the wish of the committee, that's fine.
Well, so if they're under $1,000, then, and there's no committee approval, then that's just the committee is not approving those. That's only one person approving them.
The second speaker has authority to sign up to $1,000.
Yes, right. Well, I understand, but that makes you responsible for everything that happens on your own.
Yes, it does. Like I said, okay. I have no problem with providing copies, whether it's over under $1,000 or not. So we can start that. Not a problem. All right, so we're ready to move on. Anything else?
I have nothing at this time, Congresswoman Stabler. This is Maria.
Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to item 6. Which is the commendation honoring the women of the Osage Nation Court. I sent out the latest draft. I heard back from everyone. Shannon, I didn't get any corrections on you, and you said there were corrections that needed to be made. So if you can get those out,
okay.
And I think we're at the end of preparing those. Did everybody take a look at them?
Yes. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Correct.
Chair, I believe it was Trey.
Oh.
I do, but I think Mr. Gill had spoken first.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you. I looked at them, and I'm just doing a little bit of cleanup as far as formatting. There's one question I had. There's one document in there that's the Commendation Women History Month, and it lists out the people that are going to receive the commendations, and then it has Virginia Bennett on there from an old.
No. That was an old one that I pulled. That's it. Yeah, so ignore that one.
Okay. And then I haven't seen one for Congresswoman Edwards. It wasn't on that attached email.
Yes, because I knew she had some changes, but I hadn't received anything yet. So if she send those over, then I'll forward.
Am I to send them to you or to send them to Trey?
Send them to both of us if you feel better about it.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Is that time? Is it Congressman Potts?
Potts, yes. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's worth raising the question at this point. Do we move forward with, we've always had as an honoring of women during Women's History Month when we've missed it by at least 10 plus days at this point, and there's no conference or ceremony like we're used to doing. Is this something that we just hold off until next year and recognize that we missed our window and go forward with next year?
No, I think the plan after the discussion in the last meeting, we're going to go ahead and read them in during this session, and we are going to postpone the reception probably to next session, since we don't know what month we'll be able to start having gatherings again. Anyway, that's the plan I have. No comments, or is that all right?
So, I mean, the plan is, I guess I'll just leave the wording of it.
Yes, go ahead and reading in the commendations during this session.
This is Edwards, but if they don't get passed, then they go away.
Okay.
Whitehorn, please.
Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Seems like in the past that we've done it two ways. We've passed resolutions through, or we've adopted the commendation by motion. Mr. Gill, can you please tell me if that's a correct take on that? We've done it two ways.
Yes, that is correct. When we've done the resolutions, we've also done the commendations in addition to, so they really mirrored each other, the language mirrored each other.
Right.
We've recently gone to just adopting them by motion so that we don't have to do the dual documents.
Right. So the preference on these would be to adopt these by motion, correct?
I think that sounds clean. Yes.
I'm good with that.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I'm good with adopting them by motion.
All right, thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Edward, so if they're read, if they are made as part of a motion, is that what you guys are saying? So that they pass at that point?
Yes.
Then there will be nothing further to do whenever you have a reception, except for give them to them.
Give them to them and have the reception. Yes.
And have a reception.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Okay. All right. So now we'll move on to the July 11 plan. You've received some documents, several documents. I will tell you if you can pull the budget up. I did just receive some communication back about the plaque, and but I don't have an updated quote. I just have an old quote, and I haven't put it in budget. And it's hard to read, but it's about, it's under 2,000, so I'll be adding that to the budget. So as it stands right now, I've just done some estimates and reached out to everybody to try to get quotes, but some of them haven't got back yet. So I can put that in. I don't have an old document to go by for the programs. I'm not sure how the programs were printed or where they were printed. We still haven't got a guest speaker, and I want to talk about a guest speaker since this is going to be in July. And all assuming that we're moving forward. So I'm trying to think of ways that we can curb the cost, if that's of interest to anybody. I'd like to hear your thoughts moving forward on how we're going to go down this road. I have, looks like we're at about $10,000 on the budget right now, and that's without the speaker and a couple of other small items on there. In a minute, I want to go over the menu. We're going to need to cut it back. But how about some just some general conversation or some general thoughts on what you all think as far as planning forward right now? Go ahead, as we already talked about. Over.
Chairwoman Whitehorn would like to be recognized.
Okay, and I think I heard Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's disheartening but prudent at this point to discuss the potential of not having an inaugural ceremony. I sit on two private boards for foundations. Both have events in the middle of July, one in the middle and one at the end of July. And this week we have taken action to cancel both of these events. So at what point would the chair like to entertain that contingency plan?
I'm willing to go with it right now, or even to say, it's not to say that it's the last hour. We could still manage if we're clear to do something. I still don't think we should be investing a lot of money into it. We'd like to see a ceremony for them to receive, their recognition. But I'm for really trimming it down to just a very simple ceremony. And would like to hear from the rest of you on what your thoughts are.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Congresswoman Whitemore, go ahead.
Well, I'm just having, this is thoughts off of the top of my head, so they haven't been well thought through, but I agree that we need to trim the budget down for inauguration, and then also the social gathering is an issue at this point. We don't know what July is going to hold for us. I was just thinking maybe we could use the Capitol building, set up seating, and do the inauguration up on that mezzanine platform that holds all the flags. And we'd have a lot of space down in there for seating, quite a bit of space, if we just did chairs all the way in there, and then just do a reception as we could there at our location. I would be good to trim it back to that instead of, tentatively, instead of a total cancellation at this point. And then mm-hmm. that way we could just have it there in Pawhuska within our location, utilize that stage that's up there above the safe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what audio and visual would be like for up there. It would probably be a challenge, but and then we could all just work out of that back room for the ceremony portion of it. We could all be up there. So that's just a thought. I don't know how that would work or what anybody else thinks about it. Like I said, it just now came to me while we were in this discussion.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Edward.
Go ahead.
Why are we not having it at the if we have it, why are we not having it at the casinos like we have in the past?
No, that was just a thought. That was just a thought she had, whether if we can gather or not.
But if we can't, and if we can't gather, I definitely don't want to gather right next to everybody up in a balcony at our, because I think that's one of the big problems we have is that building and where we are. I don't want to be up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we have to postpone a ceremony, then postpone the ceremony to appropriate time so that the people, there's going to be at least one new person. They deserve to have the same kind of ceremony that we've always had, in my opinion. And if it has to happen in September for the ceremony and they literally have to get sworn in and have a meeting, but they get to have a ceremony in September or some other time, then I would prefer to just back it up and have it later. But I'm confused about why we're not all of a sudden short on money when we've been able to do it in the past for, I think, the amount of money that we allocated.
Well, we know what we're getting ready to save. So I'm just thinking we can save some money somewhere, even just by making it a simpler ceremony or a less costly ceremony and still have it be nice, photographs and video and all of that with it that we'll be doing our part for the cause right now. We know we're going to be short on funds.
So the issue is paying the casino and the food for the casino?
Well, right now the budget's over $10,000. So what else do you want to do? If that's the will of the committee to go ahead, then we'll go ahead and keep planning forward. I just think that there's some places that we can cut.
Okay, I'm willing to look at cuts, but I thought I would like to look at is this the same budget as we had 4 years ago?
I don't know what the budget looked like 4 years ago or 2 years, 4 years ago. And nobody could find anything at the casino from 4 years ago. There was a change in software or something and they didn't have anything. So I compared what they spent for the last one. And we talked about reducing the amount down to 180 people and then ask them for a re-quote. And the quote came in a little different, but it came in with the same menu items. So that's why I wanted to talk about menu items if we go to the casino. But I think more importantly, it's just to talk about, what do we want to plan moving forward right now?
Edwards, my opinion is you plan for something in September and you don't plan for a ceremony in July.
Okay, anyone else?
Whiteborn. I think that if we miss Inauguration Day, that a ceremony in September is just a ceremony in September. I don't really support scooting a ceremony back if inauguration is going to occur the 11th of July. So I think we look at paring it down. I think that the expense is a good idea to enter in a little bit more conservatively. And what I see on this one document just for the casino is over $8,000. And I don't know when Congresswoman Stable was talking about over $10,000 now, what the other elements are, if it's flowers, speaker, invitations. I'm not aware of those because I don't really have the document or I haven't been able to source the document on my laptop to find it. But I say, my opinion is the inauguration is July 11th. We need to do what we can on that day, whether it's just a small swearing in ceremony, because we know that everybody's going to have to be sworn. So I'm not for pushing it back to a later date.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify, mine was not that you're not sworn in. Mine was that you have the ceremony later.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tend to agree. I think even in our last inauguration, the Minerals Council was inaugurated on a certain day, and their ceremony was held with our inaugural ceremonies. I don't see an issue with taking an oath of office on the date required in the Constitution and then celebrating at a later time. And I think my previous comments echo that, and that it is disheartening to admit at this point that we may not be able to gather in July to celebrate. That's unfortunate, but that's also the circumstance that we're in. And I think I've said it before, let's plan for the worst and hope for that. And that at this point, if looking at trimming back, it is let's trim back to an inaugural swearing in a ceremony at a later date.
Okay. Congressman Walker, you have any comments?
You said Congressman Walker, right?
Yes.
I do. I really feel the same way that Congressman Potts does. I don't believe that we're going to be having a normal inauguration on July 11th. Extremely at this point. Even if things break loose to some extent, I don't foresee a large gathering. I think we need to make arrangements for the inauguration or the oath of office to be done remotely. I see that as a very real possibility. In fact, that's what I expect. And once things settle and we're at the so-called place, a ceremony needs to take place. It is a celebration. And I'm optimistic that we have September as well.
Okay, I appreciate all the comments, and we'll go with that attitude and opinion right now, and just keep our eye on it.
This is Edwards. I'll find some of the budgets from the last when it was congressional only. My recollection, it was more like $5,000, but I'll send those to you. I think the difference is the number of people. I know we talked about this before, but I don't believe we ever had that many people, near that many people.
Right. I wouldn't think so either. And so in your packet, there is a menu, and I broke down the prices and then did a couple of adjustments and tried to get it down. And I think we could bring it down even lower. I just kind of stopped there to see what I could just wipe out. And anyway, you all take a look at that, and we can look at it again later on and maybe settle on some lower numbers there and help get that cost down. Okay, so unless anybody has anything else, I'm gonna move on. And so we had an issue with the credit card this month. The last time we discussed the legislative branch credit card, it was over not receiving the statements. And we had missed a month in receiving a statement, and by the next month, we almost missed that month, and then we finally reached out and they sent them over. And so we talked about replacing the card, and then after going through all of it again, realized if that's all it was, the staff was just gonna call on the proper day each month and request the statement, and see things worked out for a couple of months. But then this month it had to do with the payment on the credit card. So you all received your documents on that, the letter that we sent over. I have not heard from them today. I'm sorry, I should have reached out to them this morning. So I will follow up on that. And then in there, we explained our situation in as detail as I could put together with the help of the clerk, and told them that I wanted a conversation about getting a card that was not on the master account so that we could be more in control of the statements. And they might have anything they wanted to discuss on that, or everybody's okay with what I presented to you?
Okay. I was looking for a document, so I may have just been half listening. So the statements that we have that we were sent a little while back to us, I believe it was 3 months worth of statements, correct?
It was two
months worth of statements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they weren't paid. Why? Why were they not paid?
No, they were. Well, we don't know why they weren't paid. According to the documents we sent over, they should have been paid maybe a little bit late, but they still should have been paid. And as far as we can tell in the documentation back and forth, those have not been paid. Now, that's not to say that that's what the Treasury is saying for certain. They're doing some checking on it, that there's a possibility the payment could have slid to another card in error. We double checked the documents that went over from our office. They all seem accurate and in order.
Our charges are bouncing right on this credit card. They're not going through.
They're not going through. And so and clear that up first. That's what we needed most important, to get that cleared up. And then you'll see in their little sheet that shows that's the only payment we could account for, and to get to that balance, it's difficult what they're showing. So we're waiting on the response back from them on what the errors were. In the meantime, clear the credit card so we could use it.
The credit card is able to be used right now?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. I should have called them this morning to make sure they got it done, and I did not. So I will reach out to them right away.
Okay. This is Edwards. I'm confused about this duplicate credit card. I thought we had one credit card.
Chair, this is the clerk.
Go ahead, clerk.
We had one credit card. We used to have a Citibank card that we utilized, and then the Citibank was changed to U.S. Bank. And when there was a change to U.S. Bank, it was separated into a travel card that is used specifically for travel, and a car and another card that is used for supplies or whatever else you may need to pay. So we actually have two cards now. And when the change first occurred, we received pretty regularly the statements every month. When we had Citibank, we could go in and pull the statement down ourselves. And then when they switched to U.S. Bank, we could no longer do that. The only way we could get our statement was to get it from accounting. And the purchasing office, the procurement officer, would send it to us. And at first we got those very regularly, and then there was an issue that Congresswoman Stabler spoke about, where we were in session this past fall, and we didn't receive a statement, and we didn't realize we hadn't received a statement until the next statement was due, and so we were playing catch up. Well, when that occurred, we asked, why did you not send us a statement? And the response that we got was that there had been a mistake and that they had applied monies to the wrong account. And so it looked as if we didn't have any charges. So we played catch up and thought we had everything caught up. And every time we've received a statement since then, it's been because we've called and said we need a copy of the statement. And we know that the statement end date is on the 7th of the month, so we're pretty diligent about trying to get it right around that time. At this point in time, we have stayed up on all of our payments as far as we knew. We've submitted all our payables. We've submitted them as timely as we can. But this month, we have ran into four different times that the card was to be used and it was declined. And it caused us to call and find out what was going on. And that is when we found out that we cannot use the card at this time, that we're supposedly 90 days past due. But we have our documentation on our side shows that we should be current.
So this is Shannon. I mean, that's my recollection from when I sat on this committee in years past, is that there was one credit card and all the charges were on that credit card, and we actually saw the statement, and you could look and see what was charged, and then you could match that with your receipt and reconcile it. So who's reconciling now if there's a travel credit card and a other credit card? And who has the travel credit card?
Clark, can you answer that?
Yes, I can. We have both credit cards for the legislative branch here. However, my understanding is that they are, as second speaker indicated earlier, a part of a master credit card. But we reconcile our statement. It delineates out all the charges that are to our specific sub-account, and we are able to marry those receipts to that statement. So we still do that, just like we did with the Citibank. We still do that with every charge, whether it's on the travel card or the regular card. And we marry those receipts. We make sure that we have all the support documentation with every single charge. We separate it out per line item, depending on what the charge is for. We do all of that exactly like we did when we had one card. That's how we prepare the payable to send it to accounting.
And if the total of the credit card If the total of the credit card is under $1,000, then it doesn't come to CA, and if it's over $1,000, then it does come to CA?
It's required that it has to come to CA for minutes if it's over $1,000. If it's under $1,000, it doesn't require any movement by the CA committee. But like I said before, if that's how we've done it before and that's how we would like to do it, have no problem with them reviewing it every month. Why not?
So both credit cards are now not able to be used?
No, just the one that we use for supplies and services.
This is the clerk. At this point in time, we haven't used the travel card in quite some time, so we're not sure where we stand on the travel card. We just know that the regular card that we use for supplies and things of that nature has been declined at least 4 times.
So I have now put in a request to the treasurer, and they're going to get right back to me and let us know the card is available and again. So I know it caused a problem for a couple of the members on their data service. That was an issue, and a couple of monthly bills that we usually pay. We're waiting to find out when we're open again that we can use it for that. Supplies, since we're meeting remotely, we really didn't hardly need any, and we managed without them, so we're fine then. And I will continue with the conversation with them to try to get off that master account. is to me that's one of the issues now. Any other questions or comments on that?
I'm good. Thank you, Congresswoman Maria.
Thank you. So now we are on. Okay, now we're going to be moving to executive session. So I'm going to need a motion to move to executive session, please.
Congresswoman Stabler, this is Brandy. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. My question is, I've been attempting to do the dial-in, and it's not working from my phone. However, I was reading the email for this purpose, and just so I'm clear, I can just stay on the computer, which I'm here on the computer now to have my camera off, and I would just turn my audio on, and I would be okay. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved, Walker.
For proprietary reasons, do I have a second? Oh, who made the motion? I thought Walker made the motion.
He did make the motion.
All right.
I'll second.
Is that Maria?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'd like a little bit of discussion. I know that we're under distressed times right now, but I really think that executive sessions, unless absolutely necessary during this time, I'm more comfortable in a controlled environment for executive session rather than all joining by phone. I realize that there is some line of security here with WebEx, but, you know, I still feel like there's a huge security risk on executive sessions to meet this way. So I wanted to state that. I'll vote to go into this executive session, but I would like to see us try to limit the use of these by electronic means and phone conferences, unless we think that what is going on is absolutely incumbent on the nation moving forward. So that being said, you have my second.
Thank Potts. You. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on the topic of discussion, at this time, I don't see a need to discuss the subject matter of what we're planning to discuss in executive session. I think we've talked about it very openly before. We've talked about it not in executive session before. And I prefer to have those conversations not in executive sessions.
Well, it was discussing a confidential document. So is speaker on the line somewhere?
I'm right here.
And so that was a request by speaker to add this to the session for discussion and our review of the confidential document. So do you have anything you want to say before we take a vote on this, speaker?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's just that I understand the sensitive nature of anything that's privileged and confidential, this attorney-client privilege, but I will say that we have this report here. It's been on the agenda. We have distributed it to the members of this committee. I'm not on this committee. We have spent $30,000 of the people's money plus. And I think we need to go into executive session by whatever means that we can and discuss this. And I want to see what the committee's going to do with the document that's provided and what your plans are and what your intentions are moving forward. And just one other thought. Yesterday, the Gaming Enterprise Board had a very, very important, critical meeting yesterday, and it was accomplished in executive session. Through the phone. That's all. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Brandy. May I offer some comments?
If you're really brief, otherwise I want to go to the vote, please.
Sure, I absolutely will. Thank you. I will be brief. And our rules don't say that we can't meet this way. And if you recall, there was a time that I didn't prefer to meet this way because the fact that the confidentiality of knowing that there's no one else in the room when you're meeting this way. However, with the times that we're in, and exactly what Speaker Tillman had just mentioned, is that we have to figure out a way to continue to conduct business. So it's just a comment that it was, it's been talked about before, and it's been done with confidence that we're going to keep this confidential. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to leave the phone bridge, and we're going to go to the web bridge.
Chair, we still have a motion on the floor that needs to be voted on.
Okay, so that's where we are. So, all right, all those in favor of
discussion, please. Walker.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I'm not on the WebEx, so can either speaker or the clerk me in by cell phone?
You can still dial in.
Congressman Walker, this is the clerk. I sent a calendar invite this afternoon that had the WebEx link that you could, or not WebEx, but GoToMeeting link that you could use on your computer, or it has a phone number with an access code that you can call in as well. And when we hang up the bridge, you should be able to call in, and we can wait a few minutes to see if you're able to join. If not, I would be happy to call you on my phone.
Got it. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, good. All right, so the motion is to go into executive session. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed?
No.
No. Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes. We'll move into executive session. Thank you.
So everybody hangs up from there. And then they have a number that they call in. A new number.
Or they can. Yes, sir. Oh, wait. Yes, sir. Who was not on the committee that I called?
The roll call votes called by a member that's not on the committee.
What happened?
I heard Congresswoman Stabler call for it after the speaker said something about roll call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So they all have the new number that they called.
Yes.
Gotcha.